The scripture this morning is taken, wow, I am so moved by that anthem that I need a moment. The scripture this morning is taken from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. And again, as it was, it has been in Revelation, the visions. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned by her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." And then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Omega and the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let me echo what Becky said. That was wonderful. And I, too, am going to have trouble getting started here this morning. I have a second scripture lesson to read this morning. This one's from the Gospel of John, the 13th chapter, beginning at the 31st verse. Hear now these words. "When he had gone out, Jesus said, 'Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for these words of Holy Scripture. And we ask this morning that your Spirit help us to understand them and apply them to our lives today. Amen. The seminary teacher took his class out for a picnic on a spring evening. And they enjoyed themselves well past sunset into the dark of the late evening. And when everyone was gathered around the fire, he posed a question to them, and he asked them whether they could tell at what point the night ends and the day begins. After some thought, one young man ventured that it would be when you could tell your dog from a wolf at 50 paces. "No," said the teacher. Another thought it might be when it was light enough to tell by the leaves overhead whether you were sitting under an oak tree or a maple tree. And the professor responded again, "No." And then the professor said, "It is when one looks into the eyes of another and sees a brother or a sister, then the day has begun." Jesus said, "I give you a new commandment, that you loved one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another." Christian author Milton Schwarzenthaler wrote that the ability to love others is the identifying characteristic of Christians. When I planned this sermon, I thought of it being the Sunday in which we will elect elders and deacons for our church, and I had in mind what qualities are required to be an elder or a deacon in the Presbyterian Church. And we have a whole list of them in our Book of Order. The Book of Order says elders should be persons of wisdom, have maturity of faith, demonstrate skills of leadership, be compassionate in spirit. And then it says deacons should be, among other things, persons of spiritual character, honest repute, of sound judgment, and of sincere compassion. All good qualities, but as I began to wrestle with this sermon, I began to realize that Schwarzenthaler was right. Despite all that we might do in the name of Christ, the distinguishing characteristics of Christians is the ability to demonstrate our love for others. We are here because we have been loved. We are here because we love in return. And the word Jesus used for love, agape, in the Greek means, according to the Bible dictionary, to love, value, esteem, feel, or manifest generous concern for and be faithful towards and to delight in and to set upon the other. To which we might spend a good deal of our time this afternoon reflecting how Jesus commanded us to recognize and appreciate the value of others, how we might use our energies to express generous concern for our neighbors, how we might delight in the gifts of every person, whether they be friend, stranger, or even enemy. But I wonder if Bishop Fulton Sheen might have been more helpful when he said, love has three elements, kindness, kindness, kindness. A few years ago, I was watching the NCAA basketball tournament. If you're a follower of that particular tournament, you know that the stakes are high and the pressure is immense. And the particular game I was watching was coming down to the final seconds with both teams tied. And one team worked the ball down the court to take a last second shot and thereby win the game. However, the guard passed the ball to another player and that ball went right through his hands and out of bounds. A turnover, and the ball went to the other team, and quickly, with only a few seconds left, the other team got the ball, took a last second shot that went in and won the game. And the TV cameras were showing the mayhem on the court and the celebrations with fans and players. But what I noticed was not the celebrating players, but the coach of the losing team placing his arm around the player who had missed the pass. I have no idea what the coach said at that moment. I could tell in that moment that I saw an element of kindness and love. And perhaps that is the dimension of love that Jesus is seeking in this commandment, that we love through our actions as Jesus loved us in his actions. The context of this commandment is the Last Supper. Jesus has just washed the disciples' feet as a tangible demonstration of the role of the leader within a church. Thus, the love that they are to show others is a love that is born out of service. Christian author Frederick Buechner once wrote, "In the Christian sense, love is not primarily an emotion, but an act of will. When Jesus tells us to love our neighbors, he is not telling us to love them in the sense of responding to them with a cozy emotional feeling. You can well produce a cozy emotional feeling on demand as you can a yawn or a sneeze. On the contrary, Jesus is telling us to love our neighbors in the sense of being willing to work for their well-being, even if it means sacrificing our own well-being to that end, even if it means sometimes just leaving them alone." As I reflected on all of this, I came to realize that we are called to do this one thing as Christians, to love one another, to love our family, to love our friends, to love our fellow church members, to love the members of the church down the street, to love our neighbors, to love our work colleagues, to love our annoying classmate, to love the person who looks different from you, to love the person whose politics upset you, to love everyone Jesus loves. As Buechner suggests, this is not a feeling sort of love, it is an act of will sort of love. We tangibly make the decision not just to be loving, but to act loving. Not just to be kind, but to demonstrate kindness in our actions, to see the face of Christ in our brother and sister. When we do this, then the world knows who we are and whose we are. When we don't, the world knows who we are, but it doesn't know who Christ is. There's a story in Isaac Dinesen's book, Out of Africa, about a boy named Kitau. He appeared at the author's door one day to ask for a job as a domestic servant, and she hired him and was surprised when after 3 months he asked for a letter of recommendation to Sheikh Ali bin Salim, a Muslim who lived in a nearby town. Dinesen offered to raise Kitau's pay in order to keep him, but the money was not his interest. Kitau had decided to become either a Christian or a Muslim, and his purpose in working for Dinesen had been to see up close the way a Christian lived. Now that he had worked for Dinesen and seen the ways of Christians, he would go and observe Sheikh Ali to see how Muslims behave. And then he would decide. The author remembers how she wished Kitau had told her before that he told her that before he had come to live with her. I read this and wondered, would Kitau have gotten a favorable opinion of Christianity if he had spent 3 months closely observing me? If he had come to work in your home for the last 3 months, would he have decided to become a Christian? If Kitau had spent the last 3 months in our church, would he have experienced the love that Christ commanded of us? I hope so. For that is what Jesus is telling us here. You call yourself a church, then prove it. Prove it by how well you demonstrate your love for one another. This is the mark of the church, the only mark, according to Jesus. For he did not say, everyone you know are my disciples, by saying the right creed. He didn't say that the world would recognize the church by how well we perform our worship, or what translation of the Bible we use, or how good our building looks. He said that the world will know that this is the church of Jesus by how we love one another. I'm reminded of the prayer of one of the great examples of Christian love, Mother Teresa of India, who wrote this prayer. Dearest Lord, I see you today and every day in the person of your sick and whilst nursing minister to you. Though you hide yourself behind the unattractive disguise of the irritable and the exacting, the unreasonable, may I still recognize you and say, Jesus, my patient, how sweet it is to serve you. Lord, give me the seeing faith, and then my work will never be monotonous. I will ever find joy in humoring the fancies and gratifying the wishes of all the poor sufferers. Oh, beloved sick, how doubly dear you are to me when you personify Christ. What a privilege is mine to be allowed to tend to you. Sweetest Lord, make me appreciative of the dignity of high vocation and its many responsibilities. Never permit me to disgrace it by giving way to coldness, unkindness, or impatience. And, O God, while you are Jesus, my intention, which is to love and serve you in person, in the person of each of your sick, Lord, increase my faith, bless my efforts and work, now and forevermore. Amen. I cannot tell if this prayer of Mother Teresa was as a nurse to the sick or as Mother Teresa's Christian disciple. But maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe that prayer ought to be the prayer of every one of our leaders whom we will elect today. Maybe that prayer ought to be the prayer of every one of us, for we are all called to love one another. And it's a great way to start the day. Amen.